Two cruise ships sailing southeast waters have battled recent norovirus outbreaks, and a preview of the Hainesboro Assembly meeting. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Two cruise ships sailing Alaska waters have battled recent norovirus outbreaks. The highly contagious illness causes vomiting, diarrhea, and fevers, and can lead to dehydration. The latest outbreak is on the Dawn Princess, which is wrapping up a three-week cruise, including stops in southeast and south-central Alaska. That ship did not visit either Haines or Skagway. The Federal Centers for Disease Control reports 6.5% of its nearly 1,800 passengers suffered from norovirus at the same time during part of the cruise. CDC staff boarded the Dawn Princess in Juneau on Friday to evaluate the outbreak. Staff also looked at crew members' efforts to disinfect the ship and prevent further cases. The CDC's Jay Dempsey says the situation has improved.
They are reporting a less than 2% number of passenger and crew members at this time. So it does seem to be that that outbreak was contained and they are sailing at a normal rate now.
The ship is due in San Francisco on Thursday. The earlier outbreak was on board Royal Caribbean Cruise Line's Rhapsody of the Seas. Norovirus struck more than 7% of its passengers during a late August Inside Passage cruise. The ship visited Skagway about every other Monday during the summer. It was in Skagway on September 2nd for the last time this season. The CDC's Canadian counterpart sent inspectors to a port call in British Columbia and deemed the outbreak under control. Dempsey says the illness is easily spread through contact with handrails, restroom fixtures, door handles, and similar surfaces.
It's just like any other time that you have a lot of people sharing the same space. You just have a greater chance a norovirus-like illness might outbreak amongst that group of people. And it's the same on land, whether you have people living in a nursing home or a dormitory or, you know, a similar situation.
The Dawn Princess and the Rhapsody of the Seas are the only two Alaska cruise ships reporting outbreaks this season. That's better than last year when four ships reported high norovirus numbers, one on several cruises. The Hainesboro Assembly meets Tuesday evening, beginning with a Committee of the Whole meeting. The Committee of the Whole will be a work session where the Assembly will discuss the proposed ordinance for local financial disclosure laws. The Assembly is amending and finalizing the local law in anticipation of a question on the October 2nd municipal ballot, where voters will decide if local officials will be exempt from state financial disclosure laws. At the regular Assembly meeting, the ordinance making changes to the local law will be up for adoption. The meeting will be the first at which a new format for the agenda will be used. At the last Assembly meeting, members voted to allow resolutions and other business to be included in the consent agenda. The Assembly votes to approve the consent agenda at the beginning of each meeting. Each item on the consent agenda is then passed without individually discussing or holding a public hearing on each item. Items on this meeting's consent agenda include a resolution to support a grant through the Alaska Energy Authority for installing wood pellet boilers in borough facilities, a resolution to proceed with a Picture Point acquisition project, and a letter of support for a Skagway West Creek hydroelectric feasibility study. Under the regular agenda, the Assembly will vote to adopt the updated Hainesboro Comprehensive Plan. There has been little public or Assembly discussion on the Comprehensive Plan since it first appeared on the agenda for public hearings. It's been a year-long process to update the plan, mostly taking place in the form of community meetings and at the Planning Commission level. The Planning Commission has recommended the changes that are before the Assembly for adoption. The Assembly will also vote to adopt a new water and sewer rate schedule. Up for more discussion in a first hearing is an ordinance that would prohibit verbal abuse, physical assault, and threats against borough and harbor staff, and physical assault and threats against members of the public while within the harbor. It would also give the harbor master the authority to suspend or revoke harbor privileges. The ordinance was drafted by the borough attorney and is in response to at least one recent incident between the harbor master and a resident that rents a boat slip at the harbor. A Haines man was charged with misdemeanor assault against the harbor master when he allegedly threatened and pushed him. According to court documents, the case is set for a jury trial in Haines in October. Even though assault is outlawed under state criminal law, borough officials pursued the ordinance because it would allow them to enforce civil penalties for the infractions. The assembly will also hear Borough Manager Mark Ernest's recommendations for the 2013 heliskiing season. The recommendations include making GPS units used for flight data be operated as part of the helicopter, as opposed to handheld GPS devices. Ernest also recommends a specific format for how the GPS data should be submitted to the borough. Other recommendations include the borough investigate complaints and report its findings within 21 days, that permit holders be charged user fees to help cover the administrative costs of managing the industry, that adjustments be made to the Upper Jarvis Glacier and Sirkoo Valley ski boundaries, and that fines for out-of-bounds infractions be increased to up to $1,000 a day. If the Assembly approves the recommendations, the code amendments would come back to the Assembly as an ordinance at the September 25th meeting. The Committee of the Whole meeting begins at 5:30 Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers, with the regular Assembly meeting beginning at 6:30. You can find a full meeting agenda on the Haynesboro website. And just as a side note, the Haynesboro School Board is also meeting Tuesday evening in Mosquito Lake. That meeting begins at 7 p.m. Federal officials will not take over management of waters from the state, at least for now. They recently rejected a petition from Angoon's Native Corporation aimed at increasing subsistence salmon harvests. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
Angoon's Village Native Corporation sent the federal government an unusual request in May of 2010. Coots Niuwu Incorporated filed a petition asking for extraterritorial jurisdiction that would allow the feds to stop or limit salmon fishing in state-managed waters near Angoon on Western Admiralty Island. The petition said commercial seiners in the Chatham Strait area were taking too many sockeye salmon, reducing the run of fish in an important subsistence harvest. The corporation claimed the state had failed to manage for the subsistence priority required under federal law. The feds recently said no to the petition. Instead, they deferred action for 3 years to allow for a negotiated solution.
There was a strong desire and feeling there and support from stakeholders to come together and work out a locally based decision.
That's Beth Pendleton, Alaska Regional Forester for the U.S. Forest Service. The decision, sent to Coots Niuwu in late August, was signed by Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar. Pendleton says it echoed recommendations from two federal subsistence panels.
Their intention is to support the Southeast Regional Advisory Council and Federal Subsistence Board in deferring a decision on the petition to allow time for parties to come together and develop a locally developed solution to the issues.
The decision is not what Coots Niuwu asked for, but Corporation President and General Manager Peter Nowrose says it at least focuses attention on the problem.
I see this as part of this long process that we've been undertaking. It appears as if we're taking a step forward, and it appears as if the feds are living up to their commitment.
Nowrose says Angoon leaders have been seeking a solution for about 10 years.
A lot of our work fell on deaf ears until March of this year. And the reason people were listening more intently in March was because we had filed a petition.
Now Rose says he can't give a detailed reaction to the federal government's rejection of that petition. That's because his board of directors has not yet met to discuss the issue. He expects that to happen soon. Saners, meanwhile, deny they're taking subsistence salmon from Angoon. They've opposed the petition all along. United Fishermen of Alaska Chief Administrator Mark Vinsel says the feds are right. Talks are the way to go.
We do appreciate that they defer to the recommendation of the Subsistence Board for the state management process to have an opportunity to engage with the Board of Fisheries and help make sure that all users get access to the fish.
Southeast Saners Association Executive Director Bob Thorstenson Jr. could not be reached for immediate comment. Pendleton of the Forest Service says the agency is looking for someone to bring the different interests together and moderate their meetings.
So we've begun to work to look at some possible third-party mediators, and we anticipate in the next few weeks to award a contract to a mediator.
She's optimistic negotiations will work and would not speculate on what might happen if they fail. The letter announcing the decision says federal officials will take other measures if the meetings do not solve the problem. In the meantime, the Forest Service has been planning to ease fish passage to Kanalku Lake, where Angoon residents harvest subsistence sockeyes. That could help increase the salmon population.
It is the number one fisheries priority project for the Tongass National Forest for next year.
Wayne Owen is the agency's wildlife, fish, and watershed director. He says plans call for construction of a variable fish ladder.
They can adjust the water flow to make it more or less easy for the fish to get up, you know, so that they can reach a certain biologically determined number of fish that return.
He says other action might be taken, such as fertilizing the lake to increase fish production. That's what's been done at Sitka's Redoubt Lake, which feeds one of Southeast's most productive sport and subsistence salmon sites. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.